Flo here with a word that's just weird. Terry cloth. Who exactly is Terry? And why does he get his own fabric? Did he journey below SPF 50? Fight off some weeds and his daffodils? How about a word for everyone? Flotection. Yeah, I just made it up. But I'm not making up how great it feels when me and Progressive protect your new home. Ever think of that, Terry? No, Terry only thinks of himself.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Yo, what's up, podcast people? It's the one and only legend of winning, a.k.a. Low. And we're here again with another episode of Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan. I'm your host, Michael Jordan, playing a good role.
You're not Michael?
Over to my left, normally we'll have Scottie Pippen, but in today's episode, we have Steve Kerr. Say what's up, Steve Kerr.
Yo, you're disrespecting me right now. How's it going, yo? That's a really creative name, man. That's not bad, Lo. I like
thanks, that bro. Podcast name. Thanks, Steve Kerr.
Oh, all right. We're not going to call me Steve Kerr the whole pod, though, right?
I mean, you want us to call you something else?
Probably by my name would be nice. No?
Okay. All right. My bad. Steven Kerr. My bad. I'm sorry.
All right. Steven Kerr. No, I'm not going to go there. All right, Lo, listen up, man. Some tragic news happened in the NBA, and it shook everything up, man. I know you put out a video about it. DeMarcus went down, yo. And top three in points per game, the Pelicans. They call them the Twin Towers. They're having a good season. And, yo, for the first time, he's about to make the playoffs on what's been, like, a very unfortunate career so far, where I think we could all agree it's kind of just been wasted talent. Because he hasn't been really doing anything with the Kings. So he has a chance here. He's on a contract year. What does DeMarcus's injury mean, yo? How's that change everything aside from Paul George not being an all-star?
Well, let's get something clear, because one thing that I said this in my video as well, and I'm kind of upset at people when they say this, because I feel like they're trying to minimalize what exactly is going on. Yes, DeMarcus Cousins, one of the better players in the NBA, top 10 in my opinion, all-time great talent offensively, especially he can do a little bit of it all on the offensive end. And yes, indeed, he will miss his first postseason appearance in a career that he has never seen a game beyond the month of April. That is completely correct.
That's tragic.
But what many people fail to realize is that It's a much bigger thing now, because it's an Achilles injury. I don't understand how so many people are just like, oh man, he's going to miss the postseason. That might have been the last of a prime DeMarcus Cousins we will ever see.
And no, because we've seen people fully rupture tendons or ligaments and come
Achilles.
Back. Achilles.
No. Tell me a player who is fully ruptured in Achilles and come back playing the same that they did before.
But you can't play the same. You'd have to adjust, but doesn't mean you can't be just as effective.
Okay, but tell me someone who didn't have a drastic fall off, because the only player that I know is Dominique. That is the only player I know. So I don't know of anyone else. And you add on top of the fact that DeMarcus Cousins is 6'11", 260 plus pounds. And then you add on to the fact that because he's a big and he struggled with his weight throughout his career, obviously this year he did, you know, trim it down a little bit, which kudos to him. But now he's going to have an extended period of time. We're talking about somewhere between 6 to 8 months where he won't even be able to put any weight on his foot. So I don't understand how people, again, I get it, but I don't think people, it's not clicking with them how severe this injury is, man.
Rudy Gay put out a tweet. He said, been there. I'm feeling for you. Prayers out. Rudy Gay went through the, I don't know if,
and
I
where's think it was Rudy the same Gay exact now? Injury. And where's, yeah, tearing, it was.
He's shooting great percentages. I know he hasn't been playing too many minutes, but he's being an efficient player for the Spurs.
He's coming right off the bench, agent.
I get that. But the Rudy Gay we're watching right now, you don't agree he's a bench was better player than the Rudy Gay
no,
on the Raptors
no,
who was
no,
shooting 39%?
No,
you think
no,
this Rudy
no.
Gay is better than that?
He's a bench player.
That doesn't mean anything, man. Why are you saying yes, that like does. That relegates his efficiency or his effectiveness to the team?
Well,
just because he's off the bench.
His efficiency could be a byproduct of him going up against... This is okay, as we keep going on this... This is the reason why I keep getting people in my mentions telling me that you have no idea what you're talking about basketball. Because you obviously do not know what you're talking about. Another thing, when it comes to Rudy Gay, I'm looking at his numbers right now. his efficiency from the field has gone up, but his 3-point percentage is basically the same as it's been throughout his entire career. So that's one. Two, Rudy Gay right now is sidelined because he's dealing with an injury on his right heel, which, if I'm not mistaken, was is the same area where his Achilles was torn, because I think it was on his right foot that he tore his Achilles.
Listen, Lowe, we're so not even doctors, right now.
I'm not a doctor, but an Achilles tear is something that's severe enough to where it could more than likely be career altering, not just season ending.
Of course it is, man. But
so you're not that concerned about that? You about to say Kobe? No, of course I'm not concerned. Oh my god!
Of course. What do you mean? I'm not concerned. Don't fight absolutes here. Nobody's talking absolutes.
Okay.
I think you might be blowing it out of. Now, we've seen players. Remember when Dwight Howard tore his labrum? He played for the Lakers. In that season, it looked like he was in fear. He was going to re-tear it the whole time. He was playing poorly, and then he did re-injure. And then that's when he left LA, and it seems like he's been having.
He's never been the same player. He hasn't been the same player.
But
that's a terrible example, just as a side note.
I'm not trying to prove a point here. I'm just trying to make conversation. Because I don't know whether DeMarcus is going to come back as. And to be honest, we don't know enough information. We're kind of just projecting.
That's all you need to know. It's an Achilles here.
Yeah, but low. Jesus, man.
I'm not trying to be that guy, but I mean I think people need to recognize that. People need to recognize
that. No, we understand, right? Anytime like a tendon or a ligament tears, it takes a lot longer for that to repair, unlike muscle. So we understand it could be tragic. You might be writing DeMarcus off because of an injury that he could potentially come back from, especially
because it's an Achilles.
I get it.
If it was anything else, I would agree with you. And I wouldn't be going this hard. It's just that an Achilles injury, it is historically known that it's an injury that can alter your career.
They're in the NBA, right? Their Achilles is a very important part. You know, so, you rupture or even remotely tear it, and it's going to impact how you play. And so what are you saying, Lo?
Let me ask the question. Next
year, DeMarcus comes back. Let's say he comes back in like October or November. All right. And then he warms up. Does he have a chance of being an all-star?
No. If he came back
at all?
If he came back, really, I mean, let's say, I honestly don't believe, some people were saying that it's going to take some between 6 to 10 months. I don't understand how people believe that's possible, especially because, again, even let's say, hypothetically speaking, his Achilles is fully functional within 6 to 10 months. He still has to get back in NBA shape as well. So in my opinion, at the bare minimum, he's out for an entire year. But hypothetically speaking, let's just go off of what you're saying. He returns and he is November. Let's say November. Which will give him basically December and January, because we're already choosing all-stars by January to prove that he can be an all-star. And that's a no. Because I don't even know what team he's going to. Which is another question. Are the Pelicans?
You think he gets? Are the does Pelicans DeMarcus get max after this?
Hell no! Why would anyone be signing him for max? You have to be crazy desperate.
I think, if Alan Crabb and Evan Turner's are getting $17 million, you don't think
that's not max.
No, but I'm saying DeMarcus is on another tier, so you don't think teams are going to go out though. This is for a lot of teams the only real chance they'll get at getting a player like DeMarcus. What, off an injury or because some of the top teams like the Lakers or the guys who a lot of the, like, do you see what I'm saying? The Milwaukees that don't usually get free agents. Those guys, like the Portlands who don't usually get free agents, those guys. Now, those two aren't necessarily the best teams, but, trust me, it's going
to
be a team.
To be honest, Portland might be a good team because I don't know if they're going to sign back Nurkic. And if they can sign
Would you rather have DeMarcus coming off an Achilles or Nurkic?
I'd rather have Nurkic.
Okay.
I'd rather have a backup before I pay a certain amount of money just to get DeMarcus Cousins coming off an Achilles.
But don't you think it's like taking a risk? But you take the risk, you pick up DeMarcus, and it could potentially pay off big time for you, considering he's not always in the paint anymore. He's stretching the floor, shooting the three ball. So not everything he does now when it comes to scoring is as physical as Dwight Howard.
I don't know what games you're watching. I have no idea what games you're watching.
I'm not saying he's down in the paint and he's not down in there, but you know how Dwight Howard is exclusively in the paint because he can't really shoot. I'm saying DeMarcus's ability to stretch the floor might lend him to some more opportunities. I refuse to write him off because his name is DeMarcus.
Well, I think that's all. I agree to an extent that because he's able to space the floor, I completely agree with that. However, he's not in the sense of a Ryan Anderson where he just stands in a corner and he's just pulling up from three. Even when he's setting up for three ball, it's normally after coming off of a pick where he's running into the open space and then shooting the three. And then he's so dynamic that even when he gets to that space, if the defender is closing out on him, he can thus explode and beat the bigger defender or the big, explode off of him, take the dribble and take it inside and finish around the lane. Those are things that are obviously predicated not just on his skill set, but also his physical abilities. And that right there is obviously going to take a massive step back if he's not, if he's trying to come back from an Achilles tear. Wesley Matthews was in probably the What I'm saying is Wesley Matthews was a 3-point shooter. It's not like Wesley Matthews did a whole bunch of, you know, XYZ. He's a 3-and-D guy when he was in Portland. Got hit with an Achilles injury. He is 6 inches shorter, weighing like 50 pounds less, and he still hasn't been the same player. And it's not like he takes anyone off the dribble or he has this dynamic versatility on the offensive end. He's just a 3-and-D guy, and he still hasn't been the same. So I don't know how... Again, I'm not trying to be... Everybody's going to be like, yo, you sound negative. I'm just being realistic here.
You sound negative, Lo. That's why people hit me in my mentions and say, why is Lo always so negative, yo? Why is he so negative all the time?
I'm just being realistic. When you get hit with an Achilles injury, that's not something that you. it's known for you to come back from. Medical advancements come along.
You could fly to Germany and they'll do some magic potions on you.
Rudy Gay got hit with one last year and he's not the same player.
You got to know the right people, though. I'm not lying, though, Lo. They are doing weird experiments.
That's fine.
Otherwise, accelerate the growth of potentially career or sometimes in situations life-ending injuries.
That is true. You're completely correct.
Well, we'll see if he's willing to take a risk like that.
I just don't know. I don't know if on those experiments. Are those experiments set for 6'11", 260-pound men or human beings? Those are probably experiments meant for the average person who's just going to be walking around on a day-to-day basis, who may be limited physically because of their... And they're more likely still limited.
That's not the point. It's more so trying to accelerate growth, not necessarily build back something that's not there.
He would have to build back. You're bugging. I don't know. I got to see it.
We'll move on, man. I got to see it. It was tragic, bro. I was in L.A., man. I hopped on my computer. It looked like an exciting night at NBA, so I wanted to catch up. And, man, I saw Roberson's injury, Lo. That was tragic because it wasn't even his fault.
Yeah, that was
crazy. I don't know if you noticed. Look at the guy that's supposed to be sweeping the floors when that injury happens.
Yeah.
His job is officially gone, man. Because that right there was a spot that should have been wiped down. The reason it's just so frustrating to see a player go down because of this. Sometimes you watch games and players slip and you're like, thank God they didn't get injured because the part of the floor was wet. But there's two people on both sides of the baseline that are literally paid to, when the ball is on the other side of the court, wipe down the floor. So when someone jumps for an alley-oop, they don't tear something in their body. And it's tragic how it happens, but probably one of the more pivotal players for OKC is down. And just when it seemed like they were starting to get their shit together, he's out for season. He's not coming back in the playoffs. And that, I think, means officially they don't stand a chance at winning anything.
Is he that important?
Defensively?
Oh, well, winning something, I agree. But I never thought even with him on the team they were going to win. I didn't think so neither.
Yeah. But if they had a chance, it just went away. You know?
I guess. You could argue
Paul George will compensate. Remember last year they tried to kick it to him in the corner and the free throw disaster with Roberson?
Exactly.
You could argue now they have Paul George on the team now. He's better defensively. But even then, like, you know, first of all, that also means Melo cannot come off the bench now because Roberson is out.
Yeah, that is true.
But I don't know if you're a Thunder fan, it's tragic.
Well, the thing is, and I'll say this, I mean, you know, just so I don't sound like a savage, you know, my thoughts do go out to DeMarcus Cousins, and my thoughts also go out to Roberson. The thing about Roberson, you know,
you're about to talk.
No, defensively, Roberson, you know, fantastic player. I just don't know if he plays that much of a role on that team. And you alluded to it earlier that they're on this role now, and it is unfortunate that he's not going to be a part of that, because defensively is where they really have shined. And if you look at when he's on the court compared to when he's off the court, they definitely struggle defensively. So that's a concern. However, I think they should be much more focused on the offensive end, because even if they're not as high as they are defensively, as long as they're one of the top 10 teams on the defensive side, I think that's fine. And so with him off the floor, offensively, they may be able to get better spacing. Not maybe, they will be able to get better spacing. And so I think they should still be able to ride that wave. So I don't really know if it's that big of a deal, but the interesting part about it is if they're able to keep up where they're, with how they're playing and finish with the third seed, which is as crazy as it sounds, it's not that
it's not that
unrealistic. They're literally, if I'm not mistaken, they're a game away from being the third seed in the West, or a game and a half. I take that back. I think game and a half. So it's a possibility for them to be the third seed. And if they're in the third seed, they're in a much better situation than they are right now. But, I don't know. I just don't think Roberson is going to play that much of a part in their lack of success when he's gone, because I still feel like that team has the tools defensively.
It's weird looking at the Western Conference. It's so top heavy. Like, we know Golden State and Houston. Depending on how the Kawhi situation goes, if Kawhi is not there, Golden State, Houston, Western Conference Finals, boom. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, they're only.
But here, I'll say this: the third seed. If if they're in the third seed, I don't know if Houston can beat. I'm not completely sure if Houston can beat OKC.
Come on, man. Don't do that, bro.
If they match up well with them, Russell Westbrook defensively is going to have to become much better. But Russell Westbrook on Chris Paul, Paul George on Harden, and now Carmelo Anthony, he doesn't really have to play defense because he can just guard Ryan Anderson.
No, he can't. Ryan Anderson is a sharpshooter. You give him a bit of room, you sleep for a second.
No, what I'm saying is he doesn't have to. First of all, Ryan Anderson and Harden disappear in the postseason. So that's one. Let's get that clear. Come on, man.
Don't do that, yo.
They got
a whole new team this year with Chris Paul. It's not the same team as...
He disappeared when he was in OKC with Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant.
He was also coming off the bench, so that wasn't necessarily his role.
His role definitely was to score coming off the bench.
Of course.
He couldn't do that. He disappeared multiple
times.
Jesus, man. He disappeared.
We're not going to have no Harden slander on the podcast, Lo. It's impossible,
that's facts,
man.
This
team is playing like the best, if not second best team in the NBA right now.
Okay.
They're playing phenomenal basketball.
That's true.
And keep in mind, they have a 35-13 record, even though Harden and Chris Paul have been in and out the entire season.
Hey, that's right. Okay, you're right. Hey.
Oh, so I'm saying, you give those guys momentum going into the playoffs. That team is going to give Golden State a bigger run for their money than any team in the East would. Do we agree?
No. I still think OKC will give them a much better run.
I said any team in the East, man.
Oh, Jesus. In the East.
See, that's why everyone hits me up in my mentions and say you don't know about basketball.
In the East, absolutely. But in the West, I would actually argue that OKC does.
I disagree tremendously. Houston would 4-1 OKC, and I don't even know how
4-1
win for. Yeah,
I gotta see that. I gotta see that.
The more I watch Houston play, because keep in mind
remember
when the Golden State Warriors, before they won their championship with their current, you might as well use the word dynasty at this point.
Yeah,
a lot of people used to use the phrase, they live and die by the three, right? And so one day the three will be on and they'll be killing it. The next day it'll be off and they'll be breaking. And Golden State seems to have passed that point. Nobody's saying that about Golden State anymore. They're winning regardless, right? Okay. Aside from the tragic 3-1 choke they did against the Cavaliers. I think Houston's at that same point right now where they live and die by the three.
But they would have to win first before that the narrative would change.
I agree. So I'm saying I think Houston is where Golden State was a few years ago, where they do live and die by the three. If there's a game where they're not hitting, it's going to be a challenge to win, especially in the Western Conference when you're going to go up against the Golden States or potentially San Antonio's in the OKCs, right? So I don't know. I think it's a little bit interesting. If they could get over that hump like we've seen Golden State do, I think a lot of people will stop talking about how Harden disappeared here or there. It was just an off game, and it just happened he had the off game on the game seven.
Stop. We've seen Stephen Curry. Please stop. Please
no, no, no.
Stop.
But no. We've seen Stephen Curry. No, we've seen stop. Kevin Durant have off games. The only difference is James crazy. Harden couldn't have an off game or his team would lose. If Curry has an off game, Durant, Draymond, and Klay will pick up the slack.
He has bad games. He has bad. Almost every postseason, James Harden plays poorly.
But I think last postseason is where a lot of people started to.
Oh, no, ain't a lot that. Of. Well, okay, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Because I definitely.
So that,
I definitely
it became a pattern that. Then. But I refuse to. I mean, I know as a Raptors fan, I just refuse to judge people based on their previous. Especially if the team looks different now with Chris Paul playing PG. I just don't see how we can make the same projections we were making last year. Things changed.
I agree that the dynamic has changed. And so, and to me, and I said this multiple times on Twitter, and I'll say it here, this is the reason why this year in particular is very important and very pivotal, not just in NBA history, but to a lot of players' careers, because this year will really answer a lot of people's questions. So with Harden, what I've heard consistently over the years was that, well, he doesn't have to play defense because he has to carry so much load offensively. Well, Chris Paul is here.
Who says that?
I've heard that so many times. But, okay. but Chris Paul is here, so now that argument is out the window. I've heard that James Harden, like you said before, he has so much to do in the postseason that if the team doesn't succeed in the postseason, I mean, if he doesn't play well, then the team doesn't succeed because he has to carry so much of a responsibility. Well, again, Chris Paul Facts. Is here. Chris Paul is here. Right. So now there are no excuses. And so now we're going to figure out what the truth is about James Harden.
Because there is no
excuse. If James Harden underperforms again, oh, it's done. And I don't want to hear anyone else, because I'm starting to hear this from a few people, especially those who tend to forget how great Kobe Bryant was, who think that, oh, well, James Harden is moving up in the ranking of all-time shooting guards, and he might be comparable to Kobe. Like, chill out. He's not.
I never heard nobody say that, man.
I'll name somebody right now. Crispy Flakes on YouTube, he done said it a few times already.
He was joking. There's no way he wasn't joking about that, man.
And there's a few people on Twitter. I've seen it on Reddit. I've seen a few people say that, oh, yeah, James Harden, he's starting to be comparable to Kobe. James Harden hasn't even passed D. Wade yet, let alone comparable to Kobe.
I agree.
So, yeah. But we're going to find out, because I'm looking at it right now. Last year, when they played the Thunder in the first round, James Harden didn't play that well. The year before that, they got knocked down the first round. James Harden shooting 41% from the field and 31% from behind the arc. And then if you remember the year before that, when they actually made it to the conference finals, yes, they made it to the conference finals, but when they beat the Clippers, James Harden was not on the court. That comeback was led by players such as Josh Smith and Corey Brewer. So I gotta see. I personally have to see that. I gotta see it happen.
I don't think it was a comeback as much as it was just the Clippers choked that game. So
I don't know. Josh Smith played great that. I remember that series.
It was like a 20-point lead that like crumbled very quickly. I remember that game. It was probably was that the biggest choke in the last decade in
three
playoffs?
3-1? 3-1?
3-1? I'm talking about like in a game though, in one game.
I haven't
seen a meltdown like that since the Raptors.
OKC. OKC 2 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so, has a few of them actually, especially Russell Westbrook. But I mean, I see what you're saying about Houston. Hopefully, everything changes out for them. But I don't know. I still got OKC as the biggest threat.
So you think they could get over that hump? That win it by three, lose it by three hump? Because at the end of the day, the only way Golden State got by it is by adding so much talent that even if Ryan Anderson or Eric Gordon are off, there's other 3-point shooters. Even Chris Paul has been shooting the 3-ball well this year. And he's been not even just pulling up for open ones. He's just been pulling up for contested ones sometimes off an ISO. And I'm just like, word? That's just what Chris Paul does now, man. I like to see that combo. I'm a fan of Houston. You know, I've been there a few times. Dope city. I got some family there. I'm gonna watch James Harden play sometime soon, and I hope they do well. But at the end of the day, say it with me now: the Golden State Warriors would still beat Houston.
I just got to see Harden perform in the postseason consistently before I jump on that bandwagon.
I think he'll change a lot of people's minds this year, man.
I hope he does. But I'm gonna tell you right now, especially if they match up. Well, they're not. What are they? What are they? The second seed. So if they match up with OKC in the second round, it's gonna be tough. That is not. Mm-hmm. It ain't gonna be no walk in the park for Harden. That's gonna be tough because Paul George is gonna be guarding him. That's gonna be tough.
What's up? It's Justin from the Driving Dish NBA podcast. When I was in eighth grade, I switched from wearing glasses to contacts because I liked playing the game of basketball. And ever since then, I've had to deal with getting contacts, which takes way too long. You have to sit in the waiting room for a really long time. It always kind of smells weird in there. That all changed when I found SimpleContacts.com. You show them a picture of your prescription. You pick the brand of contacts that you use. You put in your address and they're on their way. And so much cheaper than going to a doctor every single time you need contacts. Took me about 15 minutes right before I left for work, and we're gonna save you $30 off your first order with them at simplecontacts.com/almighty, or use the enter code almighty at checkout. That's $30 off your contacts at simplecontacts.com/almighty, or enter the code almighty at checkout. Just remember, this isn't a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. They only do a test that makes sure your contacts are going to give you 20/20 vision. They don't write completely new RXs or examine eye health.
Yeah, that's a tough card.
That's gonna be tough.
So, Lo, listen up, man. It's crazy because a lot of teams is kind of crunch time. A few weeks away from trade deadline, every team is making moves left, right, center, and it seemed like the Bucks fired their head coach, Jason Kidd, without telling Jason Kidd that they fired him.
Which is the craziest thing in the world. Can you imagine that? If you had a job and you, like, they low-key was just, like, someone else who worked with you told you that you fired? Like, before they...
Even worse, what if they put it on Twitter publicly and that's how you found out?
Because that's ridiculous.
Yeah, you should really speak to people before you speak to agents about certain situations. So he got fired. A lot of the talk when he got fired was it a good fire? Was it a bad fire? What's good for the Bucks now? A lot of people were making the case that because Giannis liked Jason Kidd so much that it didn't make any sense. But at the end of the day, you can't keep a head coach just because your star player happens to like them. Obviously, Giannis developed with him and he's new to the country and all, so he probably has a bond with him. But they made the right decision, I think. And the more I looked into it, man, I was watching a bunch of different videos outlining the types of defensive schemes, offensive schemes they were running, and the mistakes that Jason Kidd made that led to him being fired. So, the Bucks, how are they doing right now? Let me check.
They're on 26 wins. 26-22, they're eighth seed in the East.
So, their thinking was they should be top four minimum. Now they fired Jason
Kidd.
I don't know who they're going to sign.
Should they be top four?
Honestly, I don't know how Miami's really up there because Deion Waiters injury was going on for so long.
Well, that's coaching. That's what coaching looks like.
All
my boys and girls out there who are listening to it, if you trying to figure out Jason, because a lot of people kept telling me Jason Kidd, he was an okay coach. In my opinion, he's not. And if you want to figure out what great coaching looks like he just sat there and said, I don't know how Miami's up there because of coaching.
Washington had the injury to John Wall, and they've been slowly... not doing so hot recently, but it seems like they're getting their feet under them and they're getting some more W's as the season goes on. So I think they can get top four, but that brings the question, who do they sign?
See, there's a lot of coaches or at least candidates I would believe should be available, such as Mark Jackson, but I don't necessarily know if they're willing to go in that direction because personally, I feel like this team has the pieces that is needed to be a really solid defensive team. So it's alarming to me that they are one of the worst defensive teams. That is definitely alarming. The progression of Thon Maker is vastly questionable. Giannis is going to do what he's supposed to do, and so is Chris Middleton. It's just the rest of everyone else that needs to get on the same page with one another. Ball movement is almost... It's non-existent. Like, it's just ridiculous. they shouldn't be that low in passes. But again, it's the defense that's really concerning me. They're dead last in rebounds. When it comes to holding their opponent, they're allowing their opponent to score almost 106 points a game. One of the, if I'm not mistaken, bottom 10 in defensive rating in the league right now. And when you have, but when you have players such as Eric Bledsoe on your team, who's been there now 37 games, so he should be acclimated to the scheme. When you have Chris Middleton, Giannis, there's just so many players on that team that defensively, Tony Snell, Brogdon, that should be well off, and they're not. So that's the thing that's really concerning about me, about it.
It seems like last year in the playoffs, the Bucks, I'm sure, wanted to win, but they knew that just going to game seven, I think, was a work in progress. Brogdon showed up. Thon Maker showed up. It seems like the whole team was there. This year, it seems like those same guys who were there in the playoffs last year showing up aren't doing it this year. And I'm curious why. Now, I know a lot of people like to pin a lot of player development issues on the head coach, but there's a ton. They got shooting coaches, all kinds of athletic coaches telling them what to eat, what to do. This is how you work out. Part of the reason you never see athletes work out or they don't release their workout regimen is because that's unique to them. That's like a trade secret. Same reason why KFC doesn't give up the recipe for their fried chicken. Right?
KFC is trash, as a side note.
Yeah, it is, by the way. It is. Popeye's all the way.
Popeye's.
So, I don't want to pin player development issues on Jason Kidd. I think that it's more than just Jason Kidd. And if you, at the end of the day, if you really want staff who can develop good coaches, I just start poaching some of the teams doing it really well. OKC does a fantastic job. The Spurs probably do the best job. Just find some teams that consistently take these young guys who maybe in other teams like Oladipo don't perform well and acclimate them to a new culture, etc. I was watching a podcast Dame was on, and he was talking about how he initiates some of the new guys. If a new guy comes to Portland, they don't even give him a welcome. They just pretend like he's always been on the team, and they treat him like family. So they said when Nurkic was coming over, he asked him to dinner. He went all out to try and get him. So anyway, I don't want to pin all that on Jason Kidd, but I think it's clear for those who are paying attention. You can search some videos to find some evidence, but you know, the more you pay attention and you look at it, I think like it made more sense. The team is 26-22, which isn't bad, but Jabari Parker's coming back. Giannis is doing phenomenal. It seems like the rest of the team just have to find their home on Milwaukee, it seemed like they haven't found that yet.
Which is what I think a lot of people were upset about, is because I think people were looking like, okay, well, Jabari Parker isn't even back yet, so why are we pulling the trigger so quickly on
what's the chances Jabari comes back and makes an impact? You talked all that injury talk with DeMarcus. Jabari's been through a lot.
I agree as well. I don't think Jabari is going to come back and make a huge difference on that team. However, I think the difference is, especially with Jabari compared to DeMarcus, is obviously Jabari more likely will be the second or third option, and probably will be your third option. Whereas I think
Starting lineup,
why would he be anything higher than the second or third option?
Because you said second or third, I'd rather have Chris Middleton in there.
Okay, the argument is between him and Middleton, who's going to be the second or third. But I think when it comes to that team, Jabari just isn't expected to do as much as
But they have Bledsoe now too, though.
But see, here's the thing about, okay, this is what I definitely have a problem with, and I try to give, you know, all the credit in the world to that team because I feel like they've definitely changed a lot over the years. However, if we're gonna be honest and just look at what that team has done, I don't understand why they got Bledsoe. I don't understand that. That's the thing I didn't understand. Why not just let Giannis run full-time point guard and just let it be? I was confused about that. Because if you had a move to make, why not make it to go get an actual big to help you on the rebounds and protect the rim? That's what I didn't understand.
Yeah, I agree with that. Also, I think Bledsoe was just kind of like, it was like he was on the block and they're like, might as well take a shot at him. I don't necessarily think they were out there fishing really hardly for a PG, especially because the season before, Brogdon proved that he could really hoop. So if they have a team that's young and they're trying to develop, I just put him at PG. A lot of the time, Giannis can bring the ball up regardless. I don't know how much sense Eric Bledsoe makes on that team, but I think he adds like another dynamic to that team.
But that dynamic could have been whatever Jabari was supposed to bring, because I definitely felt like offensively they were just too predictable and they were too one-dimensional with Giannis, especially because in early parts of the season, Chris Middleton was struggling pretty desperately. But when it comes to adding Jabari, you're assuming and hoping that your team will develop a little bit more on the offensive end. But defensively, yes, Eric Bledsoe, he's a solid defender, but at he's getting a little older. He's nearing 30 years old, 6'1", I believe. So there's some limitations, and they still never had an anchor for their defense to protect the rim. So that was definitely something that was also concerning. But when there's players like Nerlens Noel that's out right now, right, where anyone can just basically give the Mavericks something and they'll pull the trigger on that trade, I would much rather take a risk on Nerlens Noel rather than Eric Bledsoe, because I think agree. Eric Bledsoe, I just think, to me, it's just so many teams that are still like unwilling to just realize that if just because you're 6'10 or 6'11 or whatever, that you can or cannot run point guard, because
I think
you can.
They'll have their eye on centers. I think Jahlil Okafor could be another one for them. I'm looking at some of these numbers, though.
Why would you want Okafor? What the hell?
I mean, you want a big on the team, and he has potential. You might as well snag him for cheap. You see how they Jahlil got Nerlens for
Jahlil
cheap?
Jahlil is trash, though. Why would you want Jahlil Okafor?
I don't think he's trash. I think he's a cool 82 overall. I'd take an 82 overall center.
He doesn't do anything that they need. One, and that's another thing you got to stop doing. You got to stop comparing people to 2K ratings.
It's a good metric, man.
It's a terrible metric because
99 is Michael Jordan.
But you're not explaining why they're. You have to explain why they got the 82. Like Jahlil Okafor. Jahlil Okafor potentially can be an 82, but he's going to be an 82 because of his scoring abilities, not because of his defensive abilities. And that's what they need. They need better defense.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Exactly.
But they have Henson, though, right?
Henson is trash.
No, he's a good defender.
No, he's trash. No, he's trash.
He might be trash offensively, but he's a
good defender. No, he's just trash. That man, he doesn't grab enough rebounds. He's not bulky enough. They need it.
Because Giannis is grabbing them all. That's like saying Steven Adams isn't grabbing enough rebounds because Westbrook is playing.
He has to grab them all because there's no one else to grab rebounds.
Oh, my God. Anyway, I'm looking at the numbers of some of these guys on the team, man.
It's kind of sus.
Middleton went from shooting 43% from three. This year, he's shooting 34.
Exactly.
He almost dropped by 10. That is insane for a guy you think is a three-point specialist. So, of course, injuries and shit happen. But a lot of it just might be the offense and shot selection. So, we'll see if a new coaching change will change. You keep in mind also, with no training camp, no preseason, you're throwing in a new coach, this team stands no chance in the playoffs. I would have just took my chance with Jason Kidd and seen if you could get to the second round, but I highly doubt they'll make enough progress to knock out a top four team in the East. But we'll see how things go.
That is true, because I don't think they're going to make it that far into the playoffs. But it's all a learning experience. They have young talent, so I'm not really too concerned about it, you know. They should be fine.
So, Lo, man, we keep talking about the Cavaliers here on this podcast, man. They're playing the blame game.
It's always something to talk about. I'm about to slander the hell out of LeBron right now. So just as a side.
That's
a warning to everyone who's listening. I'm about to slander the hell out of LeBron.
Lo, see, this is why people hit me in my mentions negative.
They can
man.
Hit you in the mentions today because I'm definitely slandering LeBron. I'm slandering LeBron. Go ahead and introduce it because I'm about to slander LeBron.
Okay, so throughout the last few weeks, the whole kind of perception has been the Cavaliers are fine, just give them time to work things through. Isaiah Thomas comes back, and it seems like the chemistry is more out of whack now than ever. And as they continue to lose games, in their last 10, they're 4 wins and 6 losses. The team that's supposed to be dominating the East is slowly drifting away to low. I can't even believe I'm about to say this. 4th place in the East.
Which is crazy.
Miami might be higher than Cleveland by the time we do our next podcast if things keep going in the same trajectory.
As a side note, shout out to the Raptors, man. Y'all might be the first seed in the East, bro.
Yeah, man.
Y'all low-key creeping up, especially because Celtics, they losing a couple of games now. Y'all low-key creeping up. I see you.
I think the Celtics have an easy schedule for the next little bit, so they're probably going to end up bouncing back. But it'll be a cool contest leading up to the All-Star break.
Yeah.
So, Cleveland has been on the block, we know. It's been known that they're trying to make multiple trades and in trade talks with a whole bunch of different people. The team looks like any second now is ready to combust, and they're a moment away from it happening. And it seems like they're the talk of the town because left and right, there's drama here, rumors here, leaks there. Is Cleveland going to be all right, Lo?
I don't think people don't want to admit this, but I think it's definitely time to really talk about the concerns with the team, because it's not just that we're talking about a few new people that are added to the team. These are a few new people who are added to the team that really aren't incentivized to make this work out for the organization. There's no real purpose for why, Isaiah Thomas, for him to feel like this is where he's going to be for the remainder of his career. So why would he feel obligated to make sure this thing works out? So because of that, you have to really ask yourself, if you're the if you're the Cavs, one, do you need to trade Isaiah Thomas, which I definitely feel like should be on the table, especially because he called out Kevin Love, which is definitely something that's LeBron's fault there. But two,
can I respond real quick?
Go ahead.
About that part before you go to two, Isaiah Thomas responded to that. He said, "To be real, I didn't call him out. I asked him why he wasn't at the game to support his teammates. And then after the game, I didn't get to ask him because he wasn't there. So I was seeing where he was. So I didn't call him out any. So those reports of whoever saying that, there's no bad blood between me and him." That's what he said.
Okay.
So right. The reports so that's, got out, but that was his response.
That's good to hear. But the bigger problem is, why is this stuff getting leaked out? Where is this coming from?
It could have just been a lie, too. Someone could have just lied.
It could be a lie, but from my understanding, and this is what Woj said, and this is also I heard a few people say this, that they did have a team meeting, and there was a lot of finger pointing in that team meeting, and so now everyone is kind of like, what's really going on? Because even if we're looking at what Isaiah Thomas said, because he also said another thing about the team's defense, how he felt like it was unfair that he was being harshly criticized for his poor defensive performances, despite the fact that the team was trash on defense before he got there. They were trash on defense last year.
He did say that.
So it's like, why are we blaming him? Which is completely correct. The reason why I said this is going to be the day where I'm going to have to start looking at LeBron a little different, because if you're supposed to be the leader of that team, which LeBron is, if you're the player who is at the core, I think he's definitely part of this dysfunction of that team. I'm all over the place today. He's part of the dysfunction because he's the one who's kind of still holding out, not understanding that his inability to make the decision on him staying or not is part of the reason why so many teammates are like, yo, I don't know what's going on with him, so I don't know what I'm going to do, which is another reason why I feel like Kyrie left, which is why Kyrie was like, bro, yeah, you keep, you know, egging this on, you keep talking about what you're going to do, what you're not going to do. Look, y'all trade me, or I'm going to get a season, which is the craziest thing in the world. I'm going to voluntarily get a season ending surgery. That is, I've read and researched crazy things in my life. I have never in my life heard someone willing to go under the table, have a surgery just so they can't play with another player. And how no one is blaming LeBron.
Is crazier, man?
That no one's not blaming LeBron. That's a crazy thing. That's a crazy part about this.
What would you say is crazier? Charles Barkley gaining a lot of weight before the draft to not get drafted by a specific team? Or Kyrie willing to do surgery on his knee, which apparently needed... Was it his knee? I think it was his knee.
Yeah, I think it
that
was.
That needed surgery so that he wouldn't play if the Cavs didn't trade him. He said, I will go out for the season unless I'm gone. Y'all better trade me now.
That is so crazy. Because anything can happen during surgery. They can mess up and you could be out for a longer period of time.
They can't mess up on an NBA player.
They can't, but I mean, anything is possible. Why even take that risk? And then he sat there and said that he volunteered. That's the thing that's crazy to me. When you get to a point where you're saying you're just voluntarily I'm just going to have surgery.
That's a surgery he would have had regardless in the off season. So,
but he not. It seems he, like has he taken a surgery yet? He still hasn't had the surgery.
He wanted to use it as leverage. It's been smart, right? It worked. He got traded. He used it as leverage.
It works, but it's just so crazy that was his. And he must have been serious for them to be like, oh wow, I guess we got to trade him to the Celtics.
Yeah,
like that. That's how serious Kyrie was. Apparently, that is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. Where someone was so dead serious that they were like, oh, bro, I'm going to have surgery unless y'all trade me.
How do you beat the Warriors when the point guard of your team
is trash?
Doesn't want to be there so badly that he's willing to just be out the whole next season. Isn't there a requirement to do at least 10 games to get your full contract amount? I remember Steve Nash had a bunch of injuries.
He doesn't even care about that, because if he cared about that, he would have stayed on Cleveland to make sure he got this Supermax contract, because he can't get the Supermax anymore because he's now on another team that didn't draft him. Kyrie did not care anything about the money. He legitimately just did not want to play with LeBron. That's how serious Kyrie was.
I think it was more for his legacy than anything, right? You know, you called this podcast the Jordan and Pippen or the Jordan and Kerr podcast. I don't think he wanted to be Pippen or Kerr, man. I think he wanted to be Jordan. And he goes to Boston and he's trying to prove to us that he deserves to be Jordan in his own story here. He's making a good case, but at the end of the day, I don't know, and he's going to have to prove me wrong, if he can lead a team to beat the best in the NBA right now, which is the Warriors. But going back to IT, yo, this is dead ass what IT said. He said, we've been the lowest 5-rated defensive team in the NBA the whole season. So when I come back, it's my fault now? Which, life isn't fair, but that's not fair, bro, at all. I just laugh at those things because I know in this circle and this team, everybody believes in one another. And everybody's here for it to work and for us to be playing in June. That's the ultimate goal. So he's claiming that the Cavs don't have the same type of friction that could have possibly motivated Kyrie to threaten surgery to get out of Cleveland. It could also been, I think, low. Cleveland looks like a pretty boring city, man. I don't know. Boston just seems like a more lively place to live.
I just don't think Kyrie wanted to play with LeBron. I'm dead serious. I just think that's it.
Do you remember when Kobe was threatening to leave the Lakers and he was demanding some trades and they went out to hit some teams? Kobe gave the Lakers a list of teams he was interested in playing with, and he only named championship contenders, where when you go there, your only option is to win a championship, which was the Bulls, the Spurs, and I think he named a couple other. So that might have been Kyrie's thinking. I want to go to a franchise in Boston where all they're known for is winning.
Wait, Boston was on his list. It was New York, because that's where he's from.
That's a pretty bad list already, by the way.
San Antonio, because I think he wanted to play with Popovich. Minnesota.
And get no money?
Minnesota. Like I said, I don't think it was about money, because like I said before, him even demanding for a trade cuts the idea of him getting a supermax contract. So I don't think it had anything to do with the money.
Between like the money he's making now and the tiny bits of money he'd make if he played for San Antonio.
Well, no, because they
already
would have,
hugging the cap.
They would have his bird rights. Oh, I see what you're saying. But he's not getting paid that much money anyway, because he still signed his contract under the old thing. So
the team that he goes to wouldn't have enough bird rights. He had to be on that team for 3 years for them to resign him and go over the cap.
When you get traded, again, I had to explain this to you because you just have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I play my GM, bro. I know how this works, my guy.
If you trade someone to another team and they still have bird rights, they get to keep their bird rights.
Oh,
exactly. Right. So I have to explain it to you because, you know, you don't
I gotta
you
double
don't know
check
nothing
that,
about
that. Doesn't
that.
Seem
no,
like
it,
right
it,
information,
it is. You can,
man.
What's the fucking team called? OKC, they have Paul George's bird rights. That's the reason why the Clippers were able to go over the salary to keep Chris Paul when they first signed him, because they got his bird
rights. I had to Wikipedia it. You're right.
I know I'm right, Agent, because I watch basketball, Agent. Come on now.
Really? That's what they talk about in the basketball that you watch?
Yes.
Lo, in preparation for this podcast,
you need to start watching more basketball. That's what you need to do in this preparation.
No, I'm watching games I have no interest in. It'd be like the Jazz versus the Knicks, and I'll be like, sure, why not?
First of all, those are trash. They're not trash teams.
But you gotta, though. You gotta learn about the teams. You can't just know the top teams, my guy. You gotta learn all the teams.
Yeah, but Donovan Mitchell was playing really, really good in the beginning of the season. He's still playing good now, but he was crazy and enjoyable to watch in the beginning of the season.
I just know that, for a fact, I've been spending unnecessary amounts of time watching. Yo, Lo, if it was up to me, I'm not watching no games that don't involve the Raptors, Houston, or if there's like a good team like Cavs versus Warriors or Cavs versus Houston.
And trust me when I say we can tell you don't watch basketball.
You're just saying that shit, bro.
I'm not just saying
people
that.
People be hitting me in my mentions. No, you're hitting me. Saying,
you know what's crazy, people? Hey, yo, hit me up. Because I'm going to tell you right now, last podcast, the stuff that you were saying about Baron Davis being a Hall of Famer, there was...
But that's different, though.
No, that has nothing to do with watching basketball.
What you mean, bro?
It does, because you had to go on Basketball Reference to go figure out what his stats were for you to understand that he's not a Hall of Famer. I don't have to look at no more numbers to know if they're a Hall of Famer or not.
No, that's not what happened, man. Why you switch your twist? Here's what happened. I just didn't know what the bar was for being Hall of Fame because I never watched the Hall of Fame ceremonies because I don't have cable,
I don't have cable either, but I know who makes it.
When I watch these games, I'm not going to incriminate myself. Listen, I just know I'd have to go out of my way to watch some shit like that, which I,
there's
you
never
know, I'm going to say
moment,
again,
there
I
was
just
never
don't have
a moment in Baron Davis's career, probably outside of like 1 or 2 years. Where Barry Davis was good enough for anyone to make any argument that he should be in the Hall of Fame.
No, you're missing the point, Lowe.
He didn't have a good enough impact.
Have a big impact.
He did not have a big impact.
Don't go there, man. You can make a Hall of Fame case, but don't
say
he did
didn't
not.
Have
an impact, my
what
guy.
Impact, agent?
How? He kept a horrible Warriors team relevant. On top of
agent, you
what
sound
he did
so crazy right now.
Anyway,
he didn't keep them relevant. They were relevant for like, what, 2 years?
Lo, people hit me in my DMs, in my mentions. No, that what you don't. Sound like every podcast,
yo,
Lo.
I need a better co-host because Steve Kerr over here definitely doesn't know what he's talking about and he's never really watched basketball, which is why he's a specialist.
I'm not watching basketball anymore, Lo.
You're a specialist. You're a basketball specialist. You only watch from 96 and beyond, yo. You didn't watch post.
Is that what a specialist
yeah,
is?
Yeah, a specialist only knows like one or two things in. You're not even really a specialist.
That's huge.
You're not really a specialist. Because you know that much about like early 2000s basketball.
I do. But I do though, so all right.
Do you, agent?
So Lo, I'm gonna stop watching NBA games. I feel like I'm being disrespected here. I'm not even watching the Raptors hoop no more. In protest of your unfair allegations towards me. You knew before I started this podcast that I don't really know too much about NBA history.
I know. I should have got better. Oh, before we actually write this up, someone asked me on Twitter, is Chris Bosh a Hall of Famer to you?
What?
Really, he asked both of us, but...
If you just said Ben Wallace couldn't get in, the answer for Chris Bosh is no.
Well, here's the thing. I think Ben Wallace should be in, so... But to you, not is he going to be one. To you, is he a Hall of Famer?
Nah, not really. The same case you can make for a bunch of other players, but I think he was on track. Do you remember when he was on the Raptors, man? Oh, here goes agent with the history. Let's throw it back to 2004, man. Right. I hope I gave a right date, or the chat, they're going to kill me. So remember when he was with the Raptors? Chris Bosh used to be a low post presence with insane effectiveness with up and unders. Like, he used to be a post scorer who could also shoot the mid-range, but not the three ball too effectively. I think when he left Toronto, he wasn't really the same Chris Bosh. He had to adopt a different role. He was never in the low post because he had to be at the three-point line to stretch the floor. And he had a great career that I think is cut short, and I don't even know if he's going to return or retire due to his blood clots, but... I miss, and I think at the same trajectory of the Raptors, Chris Bosh, he would have been for sure. You know, remember he led the Raptors were like second or third in the East until he got injured in one season, and they still, oh no, that was a season the Bulls, I think, barely squeezed by the Raptors. But
when
like
was
he was
this?
Able to just.
What was the Raptors?
He was.
I gotta see this. Hold on, wait.
He was able to single-handedly carry the Raptors in multiple seasons. And this was after Vince Carter left, and we thought we just didn't have any hope. And we drafted Chris Bosh. So
when was ever the second, third seed in the East?
Until an injury. I remember that season vividly. I don't remember which year it was.
It had to be the 2006-2007 season or the 2007-2008 season. Because those were the only 2 years y'all even made the playoffs with Chris Bosh.
No, I don't think we made the playoffs that year is what I'm saying. I think we dropped out.
There's no way it's any other team because there's no other season where with Chris Bosh where y'all even won 35 games. I say that back. This 1 year where y'all won 40, 42. Okay, that might be it. Let me see. All right, it was.
What a shame.
But Chris Bosh played 70 games that year. I don't know what you're talking about. You just don't know.
Did Chris Bosh have a better career? Did Chris Bosh have a better career because he left the Raptors?
As a side note, I think Chris Bosh is a Hall of Famer. I think he should be. I think Chris Bosh's impact on the league.
I think Chris Bosh
had a bigger impact on the league than Vince Carter did, actually.
The
reason why I say that is because I think Vince Carter for sure will be your first ballot Hall of Famer.
How you go off telling me I don't know nothing about basketball, then you say some shit that's stupid, Lo? How you do that?
You let me finish?
I know, because you don't deserve to finish that sentence. It was so ludicrous. I don't want you to finish that.
Chris Bosh, how many bigs were actually adjusting their game to be three-point presence?
Get out of here. If that's your reason why, get out, man. That's ridiculous.
I'm just asking a very simple question.
Come on, yo.
Simple question.
Plenty of people. A player goes to a different team, they're not playing the exact same role they once were.
Specifically a three-point presence, specifically.
But that's a left... You hit me with a curve ball because there weren't a lot of big men able to shoot threes.
Exactly, so he was the first.
A decade ago compared to now.
Okay, yeah, he was the first, though. He was the first player to make a sacrifice and adjust his game from being, like you stated earlier, a low post presence type of a player to a face-up guy who's not going
to
three.
So how does that equate to having a bigger impact than Vince, even remotely?
Because looking at where the NBA is at right now, that Miami Heat team was way ahead of its time in a sense of floor spacing, three-point presence,
and
where the NBA is at right now. Vince Carter's ability to be a dominant dunker in the NBA, which in my opinion, he's the greatest dunker the NBA has ever seen. That doesn't necessarily translate to dominance in the win column. Whereas Bosh, his ability to adjust his game and become more of a 3-point presence is definitely something that is aided where the NBA is at right now. And I think a lot of people picked up after him. Marcus Gasol, obviously, DeMarcus Cousins, obviously, Blake Griffin, obviously, where we have players who are predominantly low post players and they change their games. Bosh was doing that years ago.
First of all, your mic is ass right now. Second of all, I disagree with you wholeheartedly. Vince Carter, if you're trying to even make an argument, don't even spend the time trying to explain how Vince Carter doesn't have a bigger impact on everybody, not just the league. I'm talking about society. Everybody that watches basketball than Chris Bosh. It's not even a
But even when you're talking about Vince Carter, you're talking about a 2 to 3 year stretch of Vince Carter. You're not even talking about...
It's not two to three years, man. What you mean, bro? Even when he left the Raptors, he was still doing good on the Nets.
But good enough for him to have a crazy influence? Because I completely disagree on that. His influence was nowhere near as great as it was in Toronto as it was in New Jersey. And I would go as far as say his time in New Jersey, his influence really wasn't that great either.
See, now you're just acting stupid. Are you doing this on purpose, though?
Am I acting stupid, Agent? Or you just don't want to admit it? You just don't want to admit it.
It's not about admitting it. It's just
you don't
want
to admit that he's trash.
Just the same way... The same way you're saying that Magic Johnson is number one without a doubt, Vince Carter has a much better impact than Chris Bosh without a doubt.
I disagree.
It's not even close.
You're just talking about popularity, and I completely agree with popularity, but not impact. What did he impact?
So when you think of iconic moments,
yeah, that's
iconic
popularity.
Players, the type of shit that you see. And gets you to love the NBA, to follow it your whole life.
I love winning, so.
No, but, okay, a lot of people, Serena Williams wins in tennis all the time. You're so addicted to winning. Do you watch all her games? Come on, man. So I'm saying the stuff that hooks people, and like, for example, for me, I used to, when I was a kid, like, I'd be like on SportsCenter just watching everything. But when I seen Kobe drop 81 on the Raptors, I woke up, I'm like, this gotta be a typo. It wasn't. It was before school. I'm looking at the news and Kobe dropped 81 on the fucking Raptors and it just changed everything for me. I was like, how could somebody do that? And you know, it was against the Raptors, so it sucked, but just to see the performance was insane. And for me, that was the first moment I really started to love basketball.
If Kobe had, like, let's say hypothetically speaking, Kobe just had 3 to 4 really great years. He was very popular, but never won anything. And he played in the NBA for 15 plus years, but only had 4 really great seasons.
Jesus, man. You're twisting the narrative. That's not Vince Carter's
career. That is Vince Carter's career.
It isn't, though. It just isn't, man. So, anyway.
That is Vince Carter. I know you're trying to wrap this up right now. That is Vince Carter's career.
I am, because I might have to put the circle in the chat, man.
That is Vince Carter's career. You might have to Vince Carter was great for, what, it's 3 to 4 years?
Oh, my God, man.
Vince Carter was great for 3 to 4 years, bro.
Vince Carter has, Jesus, he had multiple seasons, like.
4.
Oh, averaging over 20.
Averaging over how many?
Averaging over 20, 25 points per game.
One, two, three, four. Yeah, 4. He has 4 seasons. Yeah. Like I said, 3
but
to 4.
But you're saying it like he did it. But he did it all throughout his time between Toronto and New Jersey.
Yeah, two years in Toronto. 2 years in Toronto and 2 years in New Jersey. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
All right. That's what I'm saying. He's only had good. No, but there's not only. You're saying he's only had 4 good seasons looking specifically and exclusively at points
what
per game,
what else is there
yo.
To look at?
If that's
what
how you measure impact, there to look at? That's how you measure
I'm
impact points
you,
per
I'm
game, my guy?
What else, I mean, you know who brought up 25 points per game. I didn't bring that up. You did. So what else is there to look at?
All right, but that's the only metric you're looking to
no,
prove
it's not.
Your
I,
whole narrative.
I watched him play. He was a volume.
And so did I.
No, you trust me. I'm a little older than you, so I watch him. I really
you're like
him.
2 years older than
I'm
me, Lo. 60, how old 60, you think
I'm
you 67 are, man?
Years old, Agent. Chill.
You're not 67. You're 2 years older than me,
I
bro. Come
him
on,
play.
Man.
Vince Carter was a high volume scorer who was efficient from behind the arc, which is something we've never really seen. That was a terrible defender who didn't pass the ball, and his numbers really his numbers never translate to wins. So I don't know.
He's not a terrible defender.
He was a terrible. No, he was a terrible defender, Agent. No, he was.
All right. So who's the worst defender, Vince Carter or Stephen Curry?
It's close.
Come on, man.
What?
The answer is Stephen Curry. Yo, come
no,
on, yo,
I,
come
I don't
on,
know.
Dude.
I don't know because Vince Carter wasn't even an off-ball defender. At least Curry is an off-ball defender.
That just means he doesn't have what it takes to guard the best ball handler on
and
the other
Vince
team.
Vince Carter didn't either.
All right, but that's not you don't put that in the accolades of Stephen Curry's an off-ball defender.
I know, but you asked me who's a better defender. And one, I'm mad how you went to a player who was notoriously bad on defense to try to prove a point if Vince Carter is a better defender.
I just wanted to. No, I just wanted to see how bad you thought he was. Because
oh no, okay, all right, he's better than Curry. Is what does that mean?
Okay. I'm just trying to gauge your level. I'm not making any statements.
Yeah, okay, he's a little better than Curry.
Okay, all right. I disagree with you. I think a majority of the people listening disagree with you.
No, I think a lot of people. I think a lot of people will say that Vince Carter, again, not trash, but a little overrated. Not even a little, just overrated.
Jesus,
just overrated.
We're not talking about that, man. We're talking about their impact.
But when you
still,
okay,
oh
you keep
God.
All right. Before we can wrap it up like this. Hold on, wait.
Lo, are you all right, man? All right, man. Lo, see, people keep hitting me in my mentions saying, "Lo, your mic is ass, bro." They keep telling me that, man.
No, chill. We can wrap it up like this. We can wrap it up just like this. When you say impact, because you're saying impact, what do you mean by impact? Because in my opinion,
social significance,
it's just,
man.
So that's popularity.
It's not, because it's not all about being popular. It's about when you talk about a specific player. Like you ever see a player play and it just inspires you. Like you're like, this is why I love basketball. You see Kobe drop the mic, drop 60 on his last game.
How many players came into the NBA saying that they start playing basketball because of Vince Carter?
Plenty of people. Especially in Toronto. But plenty of people.
Just name me five.
Not just because of his basketball skills, but also because of what he was able to accomplish in the All-Star games to popularize the dunk contest.
Yes, that's popularity.
But he just popularized the dunk contest itself.
I agree. You keep saying popularized. Popularity. I agree. He was popular. But what impact?
We're talking about the... Oh, my God. All right. I guess I can't get through the low.
You keep saying
I
popularity.
I said he popularized the dunk contest. I didn't say Vince Carter was popular. And although he was. But that's not the statement I was making in that sentence. I'm just saying that when you're talking amongst your friends, man, when you're thinking about those icons that really change the sport or how you see the sport, you know, I think he's one of those players, man. And the fact that you wouldn't even put him over Chris Bosh, I think is crazy.
No, I'm saying, because I think as a player, he was definitely better than Chris Bosh. I'm saying the impact in which Chris Bosh had, I think, goes overlooked.
I disagree.
I think it goes overlooked. Because he was definitely, Chris Bosh, the way he played and the way he adjusted is something that you see now in the NBA, but he was way ahead of his time. But before we wrap up this podcast, LeBron, get your team, man. Come get your team. Because your team is...
I don't know how we got here,
but LeBron, get your team. Because your team is bugging. And I'm starting to get to the point where I'm like agent. I don't want to hear no one say anything about how LeBron doesn't have enough help because all these other things are going on. When almost, well, let me see. Tristan Thompson for sure. J.R. Smith. Kevin Love. Those are all players that LeBron specifically picked to be on his team. So,
GM LeBron.
I don't want to hear this about like, oh, Chris, you know, oh my goodness, you got to give LeBron a chance. And, oh my goodness, and no, especially when every single season we start off, everyone keeps saying that LeBron is on a good team or LeBron is XYZ every single season. I don't want to hear that, bro. I don't want to hear it.
It's the same thing, Lo. You haven't seen the pattern yet.
That is
the
crazy.
Same teams that get disrespected. Get disrespected every year. The same teams that get overhyped get overhyped every single year. It's like these guys that call themselves experts, low, that we could both make an argument, probably don't watch NBA.
They don't.
I think those guys aren't who anybody should be listening to ever. Like, how you get a job at ESPN and you rank DeRozan 46? Who or some other rankings, man? Low, I forgot,
Miles
man.
Turner, Miles Turner was like 30. They said DeMar DeRozan was 39. Jay Crowder's 38 and Miles Turner was like 37. Jesus. Chris Middleton was like 36. Oh, Bledsoe was like 32. The fact that you even believe that DeMar DeRozan is barely a top 40 player, idiots.
You know, okay, I know we make a lot of jokes on this podcast, but you know how little basketball you have to watch to come up with that list right there? It is a crazy amount.
But the fact that someone wrote that down and then gave it to someone else, and he too said, oh yeah, this is a fine list. That is the dumbest shit in the world.
That is crazy. That's life, man. And then NBA players react to how ridiculous they're ranked. And, you know, I guess it creates for some entertainment, right? We get a chance to poke fun at some of these so-called experts that don't necessarily know what they're talking about.
Yeah, that's crazy. And going back to the whole LeBron thing, before the season began, and I know, like, I always say shit like this, but I just went in my Twitter feed, and I think I did say something similar to this. I went back, and I looked up, and I was like, oh, yeah, I did say, before the season began, after they got all of these players that were very similar, and they did all the exact same things, and they were not good defenders, that the Cavaliers, before the season began, they weren't good. Like, they did not get better. And everyone was like, oh my God, you're crazy. And here we are now, 6 months later, and everybody's complaining about who's on the team. And it's like, bro, I said that in the beginning of the season, but when I said it, y'all thought that I was crazy. So what are y'all talking about?
So can we end this podcast doing some bold predictions, Lo? Just take some shots at something you think is going to happen that a lot of people aren't forecasting.
I don't think the Cavs will make it out. I think Toronto has the best chance of making it to the finals.
I think that Isaiah Thomas is going to get traded.
That is a fact, which is something more people should talk about. Isaiah Thomas might low-key get traded.
And based on the statements he made, he's trying to mend relationship. Like, oh, no, everything's all right, bro. I'm not tripping. The team is cool. We're getting along. But trust me, when you're a team that has expectations that high, and of course you're in a rough patch, but when you lose games to teams you know you shouldn't be losing games to, and it happens consistently, that's going to wear down on the team. Just facts. That's just how it is, regardless of which sport or what you're doing. Any competitive situation where it seems like you're the better team and you're losing is going to get to you, and it's going to cause some conflict. And then that's when you go in the locker room, you start pointing fingers at Kevin Love. Who, by the way, Lo, I don't know if you caught it. There was a little video on Twitter of Kevin Love dead ass just throwing a towel on a teammate's face.
It was Jeff Green.
the most disrespectful shit I've ever seen. He just threw it on his face like, peasant, here you go. Here's my towel. Hold my towel. Yeah, it was crazy, man.
Yes, I saw that, though. I was like, that's crazy. But
all right, let's do two more. You give me one bold prediction. I'll do one more. And then we could close it off with our highlight player of the podcast. Yeah.
I think another bold prediction that I'm going to say is does it have to pertain to this year or later on?
It could be anything.
I think that the Pelicans are not going to trade Anthony Davis and they're going to try to re-sign DeMarcus Cousins to a near max contract. Which I think a lot of people were asking me that as well on Twitter. They're trying to figure out what do I really think about it instead of me just trying to like make a video. I think they're legitimately just going to try to stay packed because they don't really have any more options and they don't want to trade Anthony Davis. So I think that's what they're going to do.
But that's a safe move though. I don't know how bold
is it. Is it safe though, really? Man. Because even hypothetically speaking, I don't know how anyone could assume that trying to keep the players that they have, especially the ones that are there that are not necessarily trying to, but that are unable to put that team in a situation in which they are able to be better than just the sixth seed in the goddamn conference. Like, this team at best is a six seed. I mean, that's what they are. So even if we're talking about bringing back DeMarcus Cousins, I mean, what are we saying? That they're going to be the sixth team? Even if he's 100%? Because they don't have any financial wiggle room to add anyone else of significance. So even at best, they're just a sixth seed.
Yeah. I feel you. All right, man. I got you a one. In the next 2 years, the San Antonio dynasty will finally fall apart. That's what I believe.
Very true, because we didn't touch upon it, but Kawhi apparently is disconnected from the franchise.
Yep. And the more you look at it, with Greg Pop looking like any moment now he might retire, Kawhi Leonard talking about how his injury is adding stress to the relationship with the team. The second Kawhi leaves, there's no more Tim Duncan. Pau Gasol is, of course, like he's a grandpa at this point. That whole team looks like it's ready to fall apart, and it might be the first time in my lifetime where I get a chance to see, and I'm over two decades old, to see the San Antonio Spurs. I'm almost
2 decades old. Oh, my God.
I'm over two decades old. Yeah, so I'm almost 22, Lo. I'm an old guy now, man. And, yo, it's going to be the first time in my life I get a chance to see a bad San Antonio. It should be interesting.
The interesting part about...
I think the last time they were bad was... the transition between David Robinson and Tim Duncan. Right?
They were only bad that one year that David Robinson was hurt. To be honest, I mean they haven't really been bad. Even when David Robinson was there, they weren't a bad team by any means. I've contemplated that as well because from my understanding, the reason why Chris Paul wasn't 100% in on going to that team is because he didn't know about Popovich if Popovich was going to stay or not. Which, as a side note, happy birthday to Popovich. You know, happy birthday.
It's his birthday? It's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Greg. Big Pop. Let's go, okay, man. That's... okay. He died. He forgot we're recording a podcast.
Jesus Christ. That is the reason why that Chris Paul wasn't 100% on going on to the Spurs, because he didn't necessarily know if Popovich was going to be there or not. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen, because they really haven't drafted anyone. They haven't had one of their draft steals, if you want to call it that, you know, where they draft late first round, second round picks, or they have a really good pickup that they kind of mature into a really good player like they've done over so many years now. They haven't had that to prolong the process of them continuing to win. And so, It's going to be interesting to see what's going to transpire with that team. Because if we want to be honest, that team low-key looks very similar to a lot of other teams in the West, where it's just really one superstar and a whole bunch of other pieces that are kind of suspect.
But in that situation, I think the coaching sets them apart.
Yeah, the coaching.
They had some, like DeJounte Murray seems like he could be a potential player. Remember they had Marjanovic in the past? They also had one player. What was his name? I'm blanking. He went to the Pistons, I think.
No, you're talking about Jonathan Simmons?
Jonathan Simmons, yeah.
He went to the Magic. Yeah.
So they had a couple players that I thought could really develop into something really good, but they're not on the team no more. He's with the Magic, yeah. Marjanovic is on the Pistons. Yeah, I got that mixed.
But again, it's going to be weird though, because I don't know how exactly they're going to just set themselves apart from everyone else moving forward, because they really do need, they need someone to step up. And like you said, they have Murray, but Murray's been up and down. He hasn't really been consistent enough for me to feel comfortable with them saying that he's going to be the quote unquote future moving forward.
Yeah, I agree. So we'll see. And that's my prediction. I hope it's not the case. It seems like every time I bet against the Spurs, they prove me wrong. But eventually, I think I'm going to be right. And this might be the one. So, Lo, what's your highlight player this podcast? It doesn't get enough recognition, but you noticed it's standing out in the NBA.
Shout out to my man, Lou Will, because I feel like he should have been in more conversation to be an all-star this year. Just came off another 40-point performance against the Memphis Grizzlies in a W without DeAndre Jordan. They're still steady along in the Western Conference, and now that the DeMarcus Cousins is out, more likely the Pelicans are going to start slipping. And if Lou Will can keep up the way he's been producing, which has been amazing, they more likely will make the playoffs, so, which is definitely something I think a lot of people were not expecting. So shout out to Lou Will, another 40-point performance against the Grizzlies. And he's still balling. He wasn't an all-star, which I feel like he should have been an all-star. Also, shout out to Dwayne Casey. He's going to be the head coach for LeBron's team, if I'm not mistaken.
What? Is he really? Yeah. I thought it was going to be Ty Lue. Isn't it the coach with the...
No, it's Dwayne Casey. It was, I thought it was supposed to be Brad Stevens, but they had a to be determined next to the coaching names for the, what you call it? For the teams, and it's going to be Dwayne Casey. It's going to be Dwayne. Because they had, it was Mike D'Antoni for Curry's team, and for LeBron's team, it's Dwayne Casey. So shout out to Dwayne Casey, man.
Oh, okay. All right. Dwayne Casey gets a chance to do absolutely nothing coaching the All-Star team, which doesn't really mean much at all.
Is that, that's a good, really good question. Is that an accomplishment? Like, does that happen? Like, when you go to your Hall of Fame speech, you're like, you know, six-time coach All-Star. Like, is that a thing? That should be a thing, yo. That should be a thing.
They don't really do much but sub people in and out. It's not like they run.
But it's still some type of acknowledgement that people feel like you're the other coaches. Because I'm not mistaken, the other coaches are the one that coach that vote the coaches in. So it's the other coaches that are voting the coach, saying that, no, you should be being a coach all-star this year.
Yeah, yeah. I remember previous years, I don't know how it's changed this year. I give up trying to keep up with the way the NBA changes all-star weekend. But it was just the team with the most wins, that coach would be in. So I just figured it was Brad Stevens. But anyway, I'm going to give my shout. I was going to actually hit up Lou Will with the shout out, but I'm going to give it to Devin Booker, who against Philly dropped 46, dropped 38 the game before that against Boston. I feel like he hasn't been getting enough like coverage ever since he's kind of like, we know Devin Booker's that guy, and we're just kind of used to seeing him hoop like this. But he's having a phenomenal run right now, even though the team is losing a lot of these games. Devin Booker, I'm so excited to see develop into a good player. I just hope he's not wasting his career with the Suns and they don't build around him in time. I hope he ends up winning championships on championships. But he didn't make the All-Star game, but I'm going to give him the nod for me, man. He deserves to be that player.
Well, that's the curse that comes with being a great player, that at some point it is just expected, and people will casually overlook you. Like you said, now he's getting to a point in his career, a very early part of his career, where people are just expecting him now to be a 20-plus point scorer and not thoroughly understanding that he's only in his, what, third year of his career? And so...
Third year, Lo. You should know this. That's why people hit me in my mentions.
Wow. Oh, Michelle. So, yeah, the fact that he had, like you said, that is impressive that he's on this stretch really now. Impressive. And... yeah, third year of his career, I think he's a 25-point scorer, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, he's 24 and a half, so yeah, 25-point scorer. Third year of his career, efficiently, he's become a little better as well. So yeah, shout out to D-Book, man.
Shout out to D-Book. Hopefully he can improve his field goal percentage. He's reminding me of Kobe right now, shooting 43%.
Well, that'll change when there's more talent on the team. But yeah, like you said, man, let's wrap this up, man. Yo, shout out to my man Steve Kerr for co-hosting with me today.
Could just call me by my name, bro.
Stephen Kerr. My bad. I'm sorry. Stephen Steven, my bad.
That's yo, you gonna do that to me?
Yo, shout out to my co-host Steve Kerr. It's the one and only Michael Jordan, aka the GOAT. Anything you wanna wrap up with, Steve Kerr? Cause you had some moves this weekend, Steve Kerr.
Yeah, you see me out there, man. I was out there. Yeah. So not only was I an elite 3-point shooter in my career, but I know and watch a lot of basketball. That's why I coach the best team in the league. That's all I'm saying.
Face ass.
But, am I right?
I just thought about that. He is the coach for the Warriors, so I don't know if how much of a slap that is, but yeah, man. Good luck on you, Steve Kerr, man. I knew you will always be something when I pass you the ball in crunch time.
Damn. Wow. All right. It's like that, my guy. It's like that now. Cool, man. That's what's up.
But yeah, man. We'll see you all next time. Prayers go to DeMarcus Cousins because I feel like we didn't really. I don't want to come off as a hater, so yeah, praise God to DeMarcus Cousins.
You are, but...
Prayers goes up to DeMarcus Cousins, and we'll see y'all next time. Peace!
Damn, no prayers for Andre Roberson.
Okay, tough. Prayers goes out to DeMarcus Cousins, and prayers goes out to Andre Roberson. Are you happy, man?
Damn, yo, no prayers out to D-Rose, yo. That's what's up.
Oh, hell no.
I'ma chill. Alright.
Someone else got injured, though, too, but yeah, prayers got to everyone who's injured. How about that?
I think we're more politically correct now. You made up for the.
There you go, man. You gonna say peace, man?
Yo, I thought you was gonna do it. I'm not
gonna say peace, man. Say peace to the people, man.
Peace. Bye.
Peace.
You gonna cut that out, right?
No, I ain't gonna cut it out. I'm gonna stay in there.
Oh man.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah, hang on a sec.
You've been riding this thing all day, and my son would like a turn.
He seems a bit young for this twin-cylinder hog, doesn't he?
It's a coin-operated kiddie bike.
No, ma'am. It's a coin-operated freedom machine.
No, it's a kiddie bike.
It's hard to be without your bike, so do something easy and protect it with Progressive Motorcycle Insurance. With basic policies as low as $75 a year, you'll be back on the road in no time. Visit Progressive.com to quote today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.